Okay, Matthew chapter 28. Oh, I think I'm on. That's good. Okay, Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles this morning. Well, it's good to be in Sunday school this morning, and I do appreciate your faithfulness to get up early and come and hear the Word of God this morning. And you know, there's some advantages to it. I stopped by a gas station that happened to have gas at it, praise the Lord, and there was nobody else there. Pumps were working, and so got gas this morning. If you're looking for it, it was the one 7-Eleven across from Costco off of Route 7. So I was starting to wonder, well, if we don't get some gas here, I don't know how we're going to be getting back and forth too well, but especially coming all the way out from 15 in Leesburg. But praise the Lord. Lord provides exactly what we need, doesn't he? Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about someone that you're going to spend the most amount of time with as a Christian than anyone else in your life. And this morning, I'm not talking about your wife, although you ought to be spending time with your wife or your husband a lot of time. I'm not talking about a child, a daughter or a son. I'm not talking about a parent, a mother or a father. It's not a coworker, although you do spend a lot of time, I'm sure, with your coworker or boss. But if you're a Christian, then that person that you'll spend the most time with in your life is the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, he's a special person. I want us to take some time this morning to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is Sunday school, and so there's some things that I want us to learn. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology, and that comes from two Greek words, pneuma, which means spirit, and logos, which means word or teaching. And so the teaching about the Holy Spirit and the doctrine, I would say this doctrine is perhaps one of the most misunderstood doctrines in Christianity. I'm sure there are some others as well, but I think we see this exhibited in the confusion that exists amongst charismatic and Pentecostal churches. But my fear for us as independent Baptists is that we react sometimes. We pendulum swing about things sometimes, and maybe we react when it comes to the Holy Spirit and all the craziness that's done in the name of the Holy Spirit out there, to where maybe we don't give him enough attention. And is it possible that we aren't paying enough attention to his work in our lives and to his presence in our lives? I want to bring a lesson this morning entitled The Third Person of the Trinity. And when we see that the Holy Spirit is a person, he is a person, we must treat him with the respect and the honor that he deserves. You know, why is it important to recognize that the Holy Spirit is a person? Well, I think we have a tendency to treat things different than we treat people. And so understanding that the Holy Spirit is God, he's the third person of the Trinity, and he is a person, that ought to affect our hearts and our attitude toward him. Now, why is he called the third person of the Trinity? I think that's important question to understand. The fact that he's the third person of the Trinity doesn't mean that he's inferior to God the Father or to God the Son. That is not the implication in the scripture. It's really a simple explanation. It's simply an expression that's used based on the order in which we find him, often listed with the Trinity in the scripture. Now look at Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20. Now listen, you may run into a Mormon. Maybe you have at some point. And get into a discussion about the Trinity and about the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that they don't believe in the Trinity. And they'll usually say, well, the word Trinity is not in the scripture. Well, there's a lot of things that we believe. The word maybe isn't in there, rapture, Trinity. But obviously, the concept is there. And we use a word to identify what we find in the scriptures. You will find over and over again, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well, the Father, God the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the point of this message this morning isn't proving the Holy Spirit. That would be another topic, and proving his existence would be a great thing for you to study and understand. But this morning, I want to look more at his person. But important to understand, because he's called the third person of the Trinity, doesn't mean he's any less important in our lives. I will say this, and I don't know that this is directly tied, but the Holy Spirit existence and is to lift up Christ. The Holy Spirit isn't interested in lifting up himself. We never find that in the scripture, even though there's a ton of emphasis on the Holy Spirit in certain churches, and I think would be an overemphasis in the mind of the Spirit. He's always about lifting up Jesus Christ. And so remember that. I think that's an important point. But let's take some time, and I don't want this to be it is Sunday school, but I don't want it to be an academic I don't want this to be all academic this morning. We're going to learn some things, but I think we're going to find some applications on how we can better cooperate with this person who God has given us, this gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Would you notice, first of all, the personality of the Holy Spirit is shown by his titles or his names. Now, some of these names are names that we find directly in the scripture. Others are titles that we've given to the Holy Spirit that we'll use and call him by. And so I want to see some of those this morning and learn some applications about that here in this first point. Some of these names, for instance, we find directly in the scripture. One of those is the Comforter. And what a great name for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I find that's exactly what he is in my life. Turn over to John chapter 14. We'll be looking at some verses in John. And I hope you have your Bible and your finger ready. We'll be going in different places throughout the scripture today. John chapter 14. And let's look at verse 16, where we find this name given to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking, and he's getting ready to go away. And he says in John 14, 6, "And I will pray the Father." So again, here you have the whole Trinity here, right? Jesus is talking. He's talking now about his Father, and he's getting ready to reference the Holy Spirit. He says, "And he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Isn't that wonderful? That even though Jesus was going away, and you think about the encouragement that this was to the disciples. I mean, having been with Jesus intimately for 3.5 years, what would it be like all of a sudden to find out he's going away? That'd be a pretty big letdown. I mean, it's bad enough when you have a good friend, when you have a relative who's going away and you're not going to be seeing them for a while. Jesus is saying, "I'm going away." But yet he gives them some encouragement. He says, "But I'm going to send someone else. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he's not going to go away." And notice down then in John 15 and verse 26, we see it referenced again. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even," and here's just to make sure we're clear that this is talking about the Holy Spirit, "even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now I'm thankful that we have the Spirit of truth in our hearts. Because there's a lot out there that's called truth that is just flat out not truth these days. Amen? I'm thankful that as Christians we can discern the truth. Not because we have this great intellect or we're just really smart. No, because we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and he is the Spirit of truth. I hope you're relying on him to discern between truth and error in your life. Now let me tell you how he does that. He does that directly with the Word of God in your life. And so don't blame the Holy Spirit if you get messed up and you're not having discernment in your life, but you haven't been getting in his word either. He works through his word. And by the way, he never contradicts his word. If you think about it, he's the one that gave the words. He inspired those words. And so he's never going to go in contradiction to the word of God. And that's important to realize. I remember my dad was telling me about a lady that he spoke to. And they were talking about the Holy Spirit and different things. And she made this statement to him. He was showing her from the scripture various truths. And she said, "I don't care what that says. I know what I've experienced." Okay, that's a dangerous statement to make. Listen, I have some crazy experiences after I eat Papa John's too late on Friday nights, okay? I'm not going to attribute what happens on Saturday morning to the Holy Spirit because of that, right? Listen, our emotions can play games with us. We can have things happen in our life that can trick us. Our mind can trick us. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, the way that we know how he works and the way we don't get messed up and err is to follow the Spirit of truth through the truth that he's given to us. And so we need to be in it every day and giving him then that tool to work in our lives as he wants to and desires to. Well, the word comforter here comes from the Greek word parakletos. It's a really neat word. It literally means to be called alongside, to come alongside someone. And I got thinking about that. That's really what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. You know, in discouraging times, he comes alongside to encourage us. In times of triumph, I believe he comes alongside to rejoice with us. In times of fear, he comes alongside to calm us. And I've experienced that. In times of sadness, he comes alongside, of course, as we see here, to comfort us. Now, I remember two of the most difficult times in my life. One was And not long after Josiah was born, he was in the hospital because he was born without kidneys that function. And we had been there every day. We'd gone and visited him over in Fairfax Hospital. We made that trek every day. And those are things that they just get inscribed in your heart, those type of experiences. You never forget those things. And just the feeling of walking through those hospital doors every day. Doing hospital visits for me is tough these days because every time I walk through those doors, boom, I just remember the feelings of going in. Is he going to be okay? Will this be the day that the Lord takes him home, or is he going to survive? And all those emotions and all those things come flashing back in my head. But I remember on this one weekend, it was Andrew's birthday. And because we were dealing so much with Josiah, we hadn't been doing a lot with Andrew, just to be frankly honest with you. We were sort of in survival mode, and I think you probably know what that's like sometimes in life. And we hadn't dedicated much time. It was his birthday. We were going to have a birthday party that Saturday. And so we decided we're not going to go to the hospital that Saturday. We're going to leave Josiah in the care of the doctors, and we're going to have a good day with Andrew and with his friends and have a birthday party. So we did that. And so then it was Sunday. It was Sunday afternoon, and we were excited because we didn't see Josiah the day before, and we were going to go to the NICU and see him that next day. It was Sunday afternoon, and we come in, And we were there on Friday, and he was doing pretty good. In fact, the doctors were talking about letting him go soon. We were thrilled about that. And they had just put in his dialysis tube for him to be able to do dialysis. He had a feeding tube so that we could help him feed and make sure he gets the proper nutrition, medicines, and different things like that. And he was doing really good, had lots of energy. We came in Sunday afternoon, and I mean, he was totally different. The color of his skin was completely different. He was just lethargic and almost lifeless as he was laying there. And we immediately noticed something was wrong. And so Benita and I got talking and just trying to figure it out. And we saw one of the tubes that he had. It was his dialysis tube. And normally the liquid inside that tube was clear. But we noticed that the tube sort of had a green color to it, darker color to it. And we couldn't figure out. We called one of the nurses over and said, we don't understand. He's not doing well. He's very different from what we saw on Friday. And we noticed that there's this color inside of his dialysis tube. Is that normal? And I mean, it was like something you'd see on TV, ER room show. And it was like code red, and people are running around. They're pushing us out of the way, and they're grabbing his bed, and they're running. And it was just like, what is going on? Well, we didn't know at the time, but what had happened was a nurse had accidentally put food, not in his feeding tube, but accidentally put it in his dialysis tube. And it caused a horrible infection in his body. He was starting to go, he was septic. And so they had to go in and they had to do an emergency surgery to clean out his organ cavity and his organs. And I was young and didn't have, I had to go preach that night. I think pastor was out of time or things were going on as well with Mrs. Pittman. I don't remember all the circumstances. But I remember just giving it over to the Lord, and Benita stayed. And I said, honey, I'm going to go preach. And I just remember that drive back. That Sunday night, I didn't know at that point how serious it was. I just knew that they didn't really tell us everything that was going on at that moment. So probably had I known how serious the situation was, I would have stayed. I didn't know. But there was certainly a lot of concern in my heart. Didn't know what was going on. And I remember that drive back. And I just remember the comfort of the Holy Spirit, like I'd never experienced in my life before. Having to get up and preach and share thoughts with other people when you've got all this going on in your life. And it was like the Holy Spirit just came and comforted my heart like I'd never experienced. I remember last year when my dad passed away. I was at a park across from my parents' house. They live off of a lake, and there's this beautiful park across the way where when I visited them, I like to go over there and walk, or I've run over there, get some exercise. And I remember things weren't going well, and we sort of knew that the time was probably approaching. And it was sunset, and it was just a beautiful sunset. I was walking around there and just talking with the Lord, and I got the call. And the doctor shared with me that Dad had gone on to heaven, and just sat down there on a bench. And I tell you, it was like the Holy Spirit sat down next to me and just gave me a big hug. And I'm not going to say it wasn't difficult, but the comfort of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. And thank God that He is the Comforter. Notice, secondly, not only is he our comforter, but he is our guide. We call him our guide. In Romans 8 and verse 14, the Bible tells us this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen, if you are a child of God, the scripture is saying, if you're a child of God, You will be led by the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we obey his leading. That doesn't necessarily mean that we follow like we should. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Let me say that as well. He will not force you, but he will lead you. He will show you, and he will guide you if you're willing to follow his leadership in your life. He will lead us. And I want to ask you this morning, do you rely daily on the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life? Listen, folks, this is nothing funny. This is nothing weird. It's very real for us as Christians. And if you've never learned to take full advantage of, and I'm still learning. I'm not saying I've got this down, you know, pat. But if you've not learned how the Holy Spirit is able to lead you in your life, let me tell you, it's a great blessing. Now, he'll lead us in the big things, and he'll lead us in the small things. Sometimes I lose my keys, okay? How many lose your keys? How many lose your wallet? I do it a lot, okay? But you know what? I'm thankful the Lord cares about the little things in our life. And there's times when I've looked everywhere, and I just said, Lord, would you please lead me, help me find this? And you know, all of a sudden, the next couple minutes, I find a place I never thought to look, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit prompts me to look there, and there it is. Have you ever had that experience? Yeah, I think we all have, okay? So I'm thankful the Holy Spirit leads us in the little things. Let me tell you, he leads us in the big things, too. A big decision when it comes to a work change, a job choice, a family move. Decisions when it comes to our children, helping them pick the right mate and helping them pick the right college to go to. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is there to help, and he's there to guide. Are we taking advantage of the leader of the Holy Spirit in our lives? 1 Kings 19:12 speaks of him as a still, small voice. Like I said, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to shout at you. He's not going to scream at you. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get so busy in our lives that we're not listening. You know, this happens with me with my wife, as I'm sure all of us as husbands are guilty. You know, we get busy and we're running, and there's times when she'll say, something will happen. She'll say, honey, I told you that you needed to do this or that this was going to happen. And I'll just think, man, I don't ever remember hearing that. But I think back to when she told me, and guess what? I was just flying and busy and doing things and wasn't paying attention like I should. So sometimes maybe we feel like, well, the Holy Spirit's the guide, but I don't feel that guidance much. Well, I have a question for you. Do you stop to listen? You know, the Bible says, be still and know what? That I am God. Listen, as Northern Virginians, I think we all admit we're very guilty about busyness. It's not a bad thing. I like living in a place where we get things done efficiently. You know, sometimes I go on mission trips and you realize what our missionaries go through. I mean, it takes all day for them to go to the bank and get a withdrawal of money. Everything in the mission field seems like it takes longer, it's harder, it's more difficult. I like Northern Virginia. I do. I like that there's a lot of things that are efficient here and that work well, and I like getting a lot done and a lot accomplished. But you know, if we're not careful in our busyness, we might miss the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our life. We might ignore that still small voice with all the other things ringing in our head. The first and foremost guidance that we experience concerning the Holy Spirit is the guidance concerning the truth in his word. John 16 and verse 13, if you turn over a couple pages there, chapters to John 16 and verse 13, and notice what it says here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you. This is 16:13 of chapter John. He will guide you. How will he guide you? He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. We talked about that already. He's not interested in lifting up himself. He wants to lift up Christ. He wants to lift up the word of God. And so he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I got to say, when you look at what's going on in this world, and your pastor's preaching on Revelation, it all makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, as a Christian, you can just see things setting up. And I'm not saying I'm not putting a date on it, okay? I don't think we should do that. But I do think it's getting close. And I do think the Holy Spirit is showing us the urgency to win souls, because day's coming, the night's coming, when we can't do any more work during the day. Let's be busy, and let's understand and let him guide us to realize that there's an urgency about this time, because there may not be much time left to win others to the Lord. You know, he guides us also to minister to particular individuals, to people that may be more ready to hear the gospel. I see this in Acts chapter 11 and verse 12. You don't have to turn over there, but listen to what the scripture says. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. The Holy Spirit moves in our heart that, oh, I should talk to this person. Well, I've had this. I remember one guy in college, he struggled a lot. And it was late at night. I was a resident advisor at the college, and that was one of my jobs. And one of my jobs as that was to do security. And so I was walking around, and I saw this guy, and he was walking back to the dorm and just had his head down. And I got talking with him, and boy, was he discouraged. He had a lot of problems in his life. And he didn't end up graduating from Bible college, and I think he was only there for a few year two. But you know what he shared with me was that he was contemplating suicide. That blew me away. Here I am at Bible college. I never would have guessed that I would have run into somebody else at Bible college who was contemplating suicide. And I didn't normally talk to this guy. It wasn't like I always had a lot of conversations with him. But that night, as I saw him walk by, the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. I'm not saying some audible voice. It wasn't anything weird. It's just the Holy Spirit was impressing my heart to talk to him. And I happened to obey in that circumstance. I can tell you other times when the Holy Spirit told me to talk to someone and I didn't obey. And I'm ashamed. But the Holy Spirit will guide us to minister to particular individuals. Listen, when he talks to your heart about talking to someone you see at church, maybe someone you don't even normally talk to, obey. Obey. He's got something that he wants you to do. Someone who needs to be impacted. When you're at work and the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, impresses on your heart to talk to someone about the Lord, do it. Don't resist. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us in these different circumstances in ministering to others. Notice number three, he guides us to those who we should give the gospel. We sort of talked about that just a little bit now, but Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? Guy had come through to Jerusalem. He saw all these people getting baptized and all this stuff going on. It was really a revival that was taking place, but he had no clue. He didn't really understand it. And so he was heading off. Nobody caught him at that point, but the Holy Spirit wanted to catch him. And aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit is about saving people? And I'm thankful that he sought me out. Thankful if you're a Christian, he sought you out. And he's looking for us to listen and obey when he tells us to go and give the gospel to somebody. And so he told Philip to go give the gospel to this guy. And obviously, things were already in motion. The Holy Spirit was already convicting because when he reached him, he was reading in the scriptures. And of course, you know, he was reading in Isaiah chapter 6 and he said, how can I understand this except somebody explain it to me? And see, the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so the reason why it's important for us to go and talk to people is because an unsaved person doesn't get it. They don't understand. When they open the scripture, they don't have a spiritual understanding. The Holy Spirit discerns spiritual things for us, helps us to understand spiritual things. But the natural man doesn't get those things. And so he said, how can I understand it except somebody explain it to me? Philip went on to explain it. He got saved. And boy, he was ready to get baptized. He says, here's water. What doth hinder me to get baptized? He gets baptized right there and then. What an awesome story. But you know what would have happened? We don't think about this much if Philip hadn't obeyed the moving of the Spirit in his life. I'll tell you what, it's important. And I think if we would make it a habit, and I try to do this more, and I want to do this more, to pray every day that the Spirit will guide you to those who he wants you to minister to, whether it's a Christian who needs to be encouraged in the Lord, or whether it's someone who needs to be given the gospel. And then be ready. Because there's been times where I prayed that and I wasn't ready and it took me by surprise and I missed the opportunity. So pray it, but then believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you and be ready then to minister. Notice number four, he guides us by keeping us from going certain places. Acts chapter 16 and verse 7 says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Listen to this, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit wouldn't allow them to do it. You ever had that? Where you're getting ready to go somewhere or do something and you didn't have peace about it? The Spirit suffered you not? I've had that. And you know, I think parents, the Lord uses us in the lives of our children when it comes to this. I can remember my mom saying, I just don't feel like you should be hanging out with that guy. Well, no, Mom, why not? I mean, can you tell me what you... No, I just sense, I don't think you should be hanging out with him. And there are probably good reasons that she saw. In some cases, she shared some of those with me. But what was that? I can tell you what it was. The Holy Spirit was working in my mom's heart to help me to understand those weren't the friends I should be hanging out with. And as I think back to some of those ones that she talked about when I was a young teenager, We were in a different church at this point. I was in seventh grade. I was hanging out with some older teens that were there in the youth group. And one of them ended up getting arrested. Went into somebody's house and stole some things. And another guy was with him. He didn't steal things, but he ended up getting arrested too because he was with him. What if that had been me? What if I'd not listened to my mom? And I was the third in the group there. Wouldn't look good on a pastor's resume, I'll tell you that. I didn't know necessarily at that time I was going to be a pastor, but the Lord did. There's another friend of mine. He was my best friend at the time. And my mom kept worrying about hanging out with him, not hanging out with him. You know, later on, he tried to commit suicide, got involved in drugs. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is real. And as parents, we ought to be asking him to give us wisdom to guide our children. I think a lot of times what we're guilty of as parents is not being aware. Again, we get busy. We're doing, you know, various things that need to be done, but we're not aware about what's going on in our kids' life. Let me encourage you to be aware and be aware through the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about checking something out. Check it out. I had this recently, and I'm glad that the Holy Spirit led me to do it because it was something that needed to be dealt with. Do we listen to the Holy Spirit when it comes to keeping us from going certain places, but then he directs us to his will, doesn't he? Psalm 143 and verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art God. How does he teach us? He says, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Hey, he'll show you his will. Ask him, and then be patient for his spirit to guide you. Now, notice, he is our guide, and then we see he is the intercessor. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He is the intercessor. The Holy Spirit intervenes. He supplicates on our behalf as we pray. That's amazing to think about to me. You know, it's great encouragement. Somebody comes up to you at church and says, listen, I'm praying for you. You know, we have our prayer list on Wednesday nights, and I want to encourage you. I think a lot of you pray. I think you come on Wednesday night. I hope you come on Wednesday night. Be here for every time the doors are open and be, you know, encouraged by the word of God. But then also, as you find those prayer requests and you're praying for those people, let people know that you're praying for them. I think it's a great opportunity to have. Sometimes I don't know what to talk to people about. Hey, talk to them about prayer. Talk to them about the prayer requests that are in their life. That's a great way for us to connect as Christians. I tell you, it's a great way to encourage other people, to let them know that we're praying for them. But you know, as encouraging is for someone to walk up to me out of the blue and say, I'm praying for you about such and such. And maybe it's a request that I've been praying for. Maybe I haven't. It was a long time ago and I hadn't really brought it up again. And someone comes up out of the blue and says, hey, I've been praying about this. And I think, well, that was a long time ago. I mentioned that. That's a great encouragement. But as encouraging is for another brother or sister in Christ to let us know they're praying for us, to think that God himself, the Holy Spirit, is praying for me. That blows my mind away. What an encouragement. Now, let me tell you why this is a great blessing. Number one, because we're not wise enough to understand what we truly need. I don't always know what to pray for. Notice what it says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I'm going to share something with you that just opened my heart up. You know, Josiah with the kidney situation, we've just been looking at it and saying, well, Lord, what's the best thing to do here? And in my heart, I was submitted to, well, Lord, if you're going to let this kidney go, maybe that's best. Because maybe it would be better for him to have to get another kidney now rather than deal with that while he's at college. I don't know. And I remember praying with Brother Jeremy in his office, and we were just praying about it and just saying, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. Of course, in my heart, I want this kidney to last forever, right? But I don't know what the Lord's will is. And we've been taught in the scripture to say, not my will, but thine be done. But I'm so thankful that when I don't have the answers, and it's often, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit does, and he's praying for us according to the will of God. I may not have the wisdom to know enough and to understand what I truly need. Notice, too, the Spirit knows perfectly what the Father's will is for us. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. While I may not be totally assured of what the will of God is in a certain instance, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God's will is for me. And I ought to listen to him. And then number three, the Spirit is interceding for us to bring about good in our lives. And then it ends in these three verses, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so this intercessor is praying for God's best. That's what God's good is. God's best to be accomplished in your life. Thank God for the intercessor. Let's continue on. We've seen his name, some titles, and that's not an exhaustive list. There's a lot of other titles in the scripture, but notice number two, we see the personality of the Holy Spirit is seen by his characteristics. Notice A, he has a will. And 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but all these work at that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so God's given us each gifts and abilities. And he's done that based on his desire, on his will. So a person has a will. We're talking about, you know, the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. A person has a will. And we see that exhibited in the fact that when he gives us the various gifts that he gives us, he does it according to the will of God and according to what he wants us to do, the things he wants us to accomplish. And listen, don't get discouraged when you see somebody else that has an ability you don't. It's probably not God's will for you to accomplish certain things that the Holy Spirit wants them to accomplish. Don't get bitter about it. Don't get jealous about it. Find out what it is that God has equipped you to do and work in that area and use the abilities and talents that God's given you. Don't hide them. There's a story in the New Testament about that. We don't have time to look at that. But take what God's given you through the Holy Spirit. He chose those things. Okay, sometimes you may be something in your life and you think, well, why am I good at this? I don't understand it, you know. And maybe it doesn't look as fun as an ability as someone else has. Listen, it's what the Holy Spirit's given you. So take it and use it to the best of your ability for the glory of God. He has a mind. How do we know he's a person? Well, he has a mind. He thinks. He reasons. There's logic. Romans 8 and 20, verse 27, we just saw it. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. There's thoughts there. And of course, if he's praying for us and interceding for us, those thoughts are being expressed to God the Father from God the Spirit. You know, when I think about it, he has a mind, he has great understanding. Great understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:10-12, the Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Not only does he have a mind, but his mind is perfect. He understands the deep things of God. And those are things we'll never understand, folks. Listen, there's some things about God that we just ought to understand. We're not going to understand everything about him. If I could put him in a finite box of man's understanding, what kind of God would he be? So that's okay. It's okay that we don't understand every single thing about God, but the Holy Spirit does. In verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And if you want to know more, hang out a little bit more with the Holy Spirit in your lives. You ever run across a passage of scripture that you didn't understand? You're reading your devotion, you're like, what does that mean? This happens all the time for me, if I'm honest. You say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to, I don't understand everything that's in this. I'm still learning. And I'll run across something like that as I'm reading my devotions. You know what I try to do? I try to stop and say, Lord, I don't understand what this is saying. Would you help me understand? Would your Spirit give me an enlightenment when it comes to your word here? And I may not understand it right away, but a lot of times, the Lord will bring that answer. Through studying more scripture and the context of scripture, the Lord brings those things out. Sometimes I'm studying for a message, and I've got all the points lined out except this one. I'm like, what is this saying? What is this? You know, and I'm panicking to get this third point done and not just get up there and say what I think, but to say what the Lord thinks and what it means, right? You know, I need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand. You ever had a circumstance in your life you didn't know what to do? The Holy Spirit will give you the understanding that you need. And he is able to teach. The fact that he has a mind, he's able then not just to understand things, but then to communicate those things and teach those to other people. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. John 14:26, we saw, he shall teach you all things. So take some time. You know, how can we apply this in our life? When I come to church, I really have tried to make it a habit, and I don't mean just a rote prayer, but a time when I pause before the service to say, Lord, would you teach me what you want me to learn today? I'm opening my heart up. Would you show me? Would you open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me? Be my teacher. And then if you ask him to teach you, be teachable. When he shows you something that you need to change, be willing to come forward to this old-fashioned altar and get right with the Lord about it, to change those things. We're going to stop right there because I think we've got enough that we'll continue the next time. But listen, can I encourage you this week? Grow closer to this person, the Holy Spirit that's in your heart. Aren't you thankful that he's always there? Aren't you thankful he's not going away? Listen, as Christians, let's take advantage of the relationship that we have with the person of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the gift of the Spirit in our lives. Oh, Lord, forgive me when I haven't paid as much attention to him as I ought to. Lord, I want you to teach me. I want your Spirit to guide me. Lord, I want to minister others better, and I know it's through your Spirit. Help me to follow his leading. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of our relationship with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. You got about 18 minutes till service. Thank you.